This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hey, I'm Ricky Bonner.
And I'm Cal Naughton Jr. Let's talk about kids on leashes.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Fire Safety Week is right around the corner, and here are a few important tips you might want to listen to.
Wrapping your kids in newspaper at bedtime sounds like a good idea. Keeps them warm. But guess what? That stuff's flammable.
With Andy Dirt Johnson.
Hey, we've all run around with an empty milk jug full of gasoline and lit it in an open field, but make sure there's a parent close by.
And Brendan Sprague.
What's better than a nap? A nap with a cigarette. I know. I do it. If you're going to sleep in bed, make it a hammock. So if it lights on fire, you fall down and wake up.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Fire safety begins in your brain at home.
The Fan.
Hey, let's do this. Final hour. Dirt and Sprague here on Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan. 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. What a day we got. NFL trade deadline, college football playoff rankings. It's all that matters. It's all we're going to be glued to all afternoon. We'll see if we can get the top 12 right. Who's top 12 is the closest of us three idiots? And then we'll compare and contrast tomorrow. I'm also going to play a fun game that you guys could noodle on. It is flip it or stick it time in the NFL tomorrow. Well, I'll remind you of your division picks preseason, your Super Bowl, your AFC title matchups, and we'll see how many we're flipping, how many we're sticking, which are the worst picks so far now that we're past the halfway point of the regular season.
Jaren Sakapotule,
Pretty bad one right there. USC, after saying they would not, has benched their quarterback. That came out late last night.
Miller Moss, he gone.
Miller Moss has been benched. They have a bye week this week. They take on Nebraska at home next week, and they have made a change of quarterback. Jaden Maiava, I believe is how you say his last name. He's a transfer from UNLV. He is going to be their starting quarterback.
First time in Lincoln's career, arguably, that he's had a quarterback not work for him.
He was asked after the game, have you considered making a change at quarterback? And he said, quote, I wouldn't say that right now. No, for us right now, we're just looking at the best lineup, best people to help us win every week. We're going to keep the focus there. And
yeah,
then the next day,
I get it. I watched that UW-USC game. Miller Moss has not been good. He throws really bad interceptions. He has some dimes, but he throws a lot of bad interceptions.
Yes, he does.
I'm kind of to the point. I'm wondering if they're doing this because they know they're not winning another game this year. I'm not going to act like UCLA going to Nebraska means that they can't beat USC either. I don't know if USC is going to beat Nebraska.
Nah, nothing's guaranteed with them.
So, you know, it's kind of gotten to that point. Miller Moss hasn't done anything close to what other quarterbacks with Lincoln Riley have done. Why would you not see what somebody else is?
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I'm going to get to another team locally on that note as well.
I wanted to talk about that today.
That's in my notes. We'll get to it. Before we get to our playoff thoughts, let's hear from Mike Gundy. Never one who is shy of sharing his opinion. Ooh, buddy. I don't know how many people know this, but Oklahoma State this year is winless in Big 12 play. They got blown out by Arizona State this weekend.
They were picked to finish first or second in that conference by most media members.
Yes, they were.
You remember our Go Pokes guy?
I do.
The whole line was back. Ollie Gordon's back. Here we go. All the experience to win the Big 12.
Dirty Poll preseason top 25 team.
Haven't won a conference game.
0-6 is the only team in the Big 12 without a conference win. Mike Gundy does his Monday coaches show from a seniors like
retirement center.
Facility, retirement center.
It's actually really cool.
It actually, yeah. I mean, he goes in, they all the olds come in, yeah, and they sit there and they watch
it's
his press conference.
For them, yeah.
You know, it's something to do during the day. I don't know how that started or why it became a thing.
Tomato
I'm not kidding.
Soup and grilled cheese.
He
sandwiches.
Legitimately does his coaches show every Monday from a senior living center. And this one happened. A lot of fans are critical. Like, hey, Gundy, you keep asking for donations and you're not winning conference games. Like, what the hell is going on? Gundy said it's because you're fat and you're lazy and you can't pay your bills.
This place has had tremendous success for 18 and a half years or 19. I can't do the math real good, but, and so unfortunately in life, most people are weak. And as soon as things start to not go as good as what they thought, they fall apart and they panic. And then they want to point the finger and blame other people. That you see it happen in everyday life. People do it all the time. That's why I refuse to watch the TV and watch the news, because I get tired of people complaining and bitching about this and that versus just doing something about it and trying to figure out a way to make it better. Well, that's what happens in college athletics. And as Jenny said, she's exactly right. It's just on the bigger stage where people can voice their opinion. And in most cases, the people that are negative and voicing their opinion are the same ones that can't pay their own bills. They're not taking care of themselves. They're not taking care of their own family. They're not taking care of their own job, but they have an obligation to speak out and complain about others because it makes them feel better. But then in the end, when they go to bed at night, they're the same failure that they were before they said anything negative about anybody else.
I would argue he watches the news with the most bitching.
Should be good for NIL donations, right? Tell your fan base that they're a failure and you can't pay your own
It'd
bills.
It'd be so funny if he was live on YouTube or TV, if in the middle of that rant there was a QR code you could scan to donate.
To donate money while he's ranting.
And he's telling, he basically pulled a LeBron. Like, I get to go home to my life, you got to go and wake up to yours tomorrow.
You essentially did.
Which tells you kind of like, I'm not in a good spot right now. I'm not feeling very good. I don't know what they do there. I don't know how to explain what happened this season with them. They've been, them and Arizona are the two biggest disasters of college football this year. There's other bad teams.
Yeah, Utah, at least you can explain away quarterback injury. Like, all right, yes. Rising went down again. Okay, I can see it.
But Oklahoma State and Arizona are easily, for me, the two biggest disasters of the season based on what we thought they were going into the year.
Florida State, too. It's entered the chat.
Yeah. Okay, touche. I'll put Florida State,
I forgot
Oklahoma
about Florida State.
Like,
thinking of other disappointing teams in my head.
Arizona.
Like, wait a minute, Florida State might be really bad.
Yeah.
They have a former player. I saw a bunch of former players jumped on social media yesterday after this thing went viral. One of their former players, who was an All-American at Oklahoma State, said, I just listened to the whole Gundy quote. Mm-hmm. All I have to say is for the last 19 years, Oklahoma State University has challenged the fan base to show up, spend more, make the game day atmosphere one of the best in the conference, and OSU fans have answered the call in every way. We deserve to be treated better. It felt like Saturday for Penn State was a breaking point maybe for that fan base of like, dude, enough is enough. You had a 10-0 lead. It's the same team every year. We're tired of this. We're willing to gamble on maybe falling down a little bit because we hope that we can get over the hump with a different coach. Maybe I'm grasping at stuff here. This, unless he comes out and immediately apologizes, I'm gonna see who they got the rest of the way and what their schedule looks like.
They're winless.
No, I'm just saying, like, in terms of fan attendance, like, are people going to just not go to games? They only have one home game left. It's against Texas Tech in a couple of weeks.
That's a fan base that will always go, and they care.
But that was, like, the sentiment on social media, I'll say, at least yesterday, from former players and big-time donors and fans was, like, that's you cannot say that about your fan base.
He's been controversial before. He's not afraid or shy of being controversial. I think the bigger question is, are you done with it? He's not wrong. They've had good seasons. They've had great seasons. They're not quite Penn State level. What I would say is in that conference, they should have better expectations than what they did this year.
Yes.
They should have had a chance to win that conference. I don't know where it went wrong or why it went wrong. I don't watch that team enough or follow it. But to be what they are, it's laughably bad. I think it's an underrated job, to be honest with you. You can make a real argument that they've got the financial backing, even with Boone being dead. I think the trust is set up where they're constantly donating. They have a passionate fan base that wants to matter. They've got good facilities, And guess what? They play in a garbage-ass conference.
The Big 12 is not very good.
The Big 12 is a crapshoot. It's a toss-up. You never know who's going to win it. And I'm just doing a name locally. I think he's going to generate a lot of buzz. If you're a Will Stein, how do you not look at Oklahoma State and say, why? I could take my offense.
He's a Texas guy.
He's from the
Area.
The area. He understands it. He probably knows how to recruit there, and his offense is tremendous. Like, that's a job that you could replace a Gundy, I think, and find a good candidate. Penn State's a different question, but I think I also concluded, and I don't know if I said this on the air so much as like thought it driving home. I have no problem with Penn State fans saying we should be better. We have funding.
Let's roll the dice.
We can recruit. It's not a talent problem.
No.
Our offense
might backfire, but I'm willing to take the shot
absolutely.
At this point.
Yeah. You make enough money in Big Ten revenue to say, all right, we take the chance on a guy, and he flames out. We'll just go buy the next guy. I think I've concluded that. And I think Pate's going to disagree with that take because he seems to be a big James Franklin kind of guy.
Yeah.
But I have no fault with Penn State fan being done with this.
Yeah, it's a bold move from old Mike Gundy, who has been begging his fan base all year to donate. Remember, he wanted to put QR codes on the back of the players' helmets? Remember that? When they scored a touchdown, you could scan the QR code and immediately donate to NIL. That's what he wanted to do. And then you turn around and you call your fan base fat and lazy, and you can't pay your own bills if you're complaining about being 0-6 in conference play. It's a bold move, Cotton. We'll see if it works out for you.
Let's do a prediction very quickly. Are both Lincoln Riley and Mike Gundy the coaches of those programs next year? Just one of them or both of them? I think Gundy's gone, and I think Lincoln's going to ditch out. I don't think he likes recruiting.
Do you think Gundy can actually get fired from this? You think the fan base is really that upset that this could lead to it?
They haven't won a conference game, and the conference is not particularly strong.
No, it is not. I'll say one of them is still the coach there.
But you think one of them's gone?
I think one of them could be gone. Which one? I don't know. But one of them could be on the way out.
I will be shocked. Oh, not shocked. I will be a little surprised if Lincoln stays. I just think he's got all the tells of a guy who clearly is done with recruiting.
Especially if this backup quarterback move doesn't work out.
Yeah,
he was 17 touchdowns and 10 picks last year at UNLV. Like, it's not bad, but I don't know if this is the answer that's going to save your offense.
The last backup saved everything for him and went and became the number one pick in the NFL.
Is very true. Is Jaden Maiava the next Caleb Williams? We'll find out in 2 weeks when they play Nebraska at home. Let's get to the mail sack. Your questions, welcome. 503-864-6326. That's Vancouver for Texas. We'll get to another bit of quarterback news coming up bottom of the hour and the CFP rankings. Lots still to get to. Mail sack is next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, do we have another quarterback change on the horizon? We'll get to that coming up bottom of the hour. Then we'll give you our college football playoff rankings to end the show. Who's most accurate? Who's closest? Who's got the hottest take?
I've got a projection from one of the national college football writers at On Three, and I don't know if you're going to like it.
Oh, okay. I like that. We'll get to that coming up at the end of the show. And where do you put Indiana and BYU, a couple of undefeated teams? Where do they slot in for you?
I cannot begin to tell you, and I heard your hit this weekend on a gummy on the postgame show. I heard it. And I know you would be rooting for it, but I want nothing more than Cignetti in the Big Ten title game, because you would go, okay,
oh God, I'd love that.
We would roll Indiana.
We'd eat him for lunch,
yeah,
dude.
And I don't disagree
yeah,
with you.
Yeah, we're all scared of James Madison transfers. Oh God, how are we going to...
But it would also in the same breath...
Oh no.
Make you look stupid.
You barely beat the Huskies. Oh no.
I mean, they covered the number, which was...
31-17. Oh no. I'm scared.
Yeah, I mean,
bring it on.
You haven't beaten the Huskies.
Bring it on, Indiana. This isn't college hoops in 1974, bitch.
I mean, they can beat the Huskies.
And beat Ohio State, then we'll talk, okay? Beat Ohio State in 2 weeks, then we'll talk, all right? Get back to me when you beat a team with a pole, Cignetti.
If they make the Big Ten
title. Beat a team with a winning record. Do they have a win over a team with a winning record this year?
The Huskies.
Oh, yeah, 5-4. Best win on the year.
You asked the question. I just gave you the answer.
Let's get to the mail sack. Let's all say that you have already voted.
Your hate for Indiana's most random thing maybe in the show's history.
I mean, I can't let it die at this point. You're passionate about the person you voted for.
Okay.
Would you change your vote to the other candidate if the candidate promised to bring back the Pac-12 and reverse all that is wrong with college football? I mean, that's an easy no for me.
No.
For this election?
That's an easy no for
me. That's a no.
I mean, the Pac-12 would be cool to get back together, but it's also kind of fun playing.
Would I think about it for about 45 minutes, driving, shopping, and driving home? Absolutely, I
contemplate it for a bit. Millsack question, where does I Love L.A. rank on the great sports celebration songs, i.e. New York, New York, Go Cubs Go, Rocky Top, Country Roads, etc.?
I think it's up there, and I've experienced it in person.
It's top five.
It's awesome.
Yeah, New York, New York will probably be the most, like, Frank, right after a big Yankee win.
Dude, I want to say this very quickly.
Bop, bop, da, 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 da. Like, that's tough to beat.
I watched the Quincy Jones doc yesterday on Netflix. I had some time, and I said, you know what?
It's an incredible documentary.
Dude, his daughter helped make it, actually.
Yes, she did.
Rashida Jones. I learned so much about him, and I already knew a lot about Quincy Jones. And there's a Frank Sinatra part in that about what Frank basically set him up. Like, Frank created the Quincy Jones aura of, like, no, this dude knows what he's doing and producing. He was a great artist. He'd worked with Ray Charles. The Frank Sinatra part, it made me happy, because I was like, it's nice that people like Frank Sinatra existed when they existed for what they did to people in their orbit.
Guy went from working with Frank Sinatra to making Thriller.
Frank Sinatra almost left Vegas and performing at Vegas because of how they treated the black musical artists.
Yes.
And he said, you need to stop this or I'm gone.
Yes. And they wouldn't lose. They're not willing to lose Frank Sinatra in Vegas in that era. I love LA. I hate the Dodgers, but it's up there. Millsack, what's the hardest time you've had separating art from the artist? Wife and I were watching a movie Saturday and Kevin Spacey was in it.
Yeah, he's a great actor.
We were both lost in his performance, then reminded ourselves, he's kind of a bad dude, but ultimately we just chose to block that out as we were otherwise really into the show, trust-free. Who do you compartmentalize the most?
So Spacey hits this for me in this way. When I start watching Christmas movies, Fred Claus hits the rotation once in a while.
Fred Claus is in your Christmas rotation?
I got a soft spot for Vince Vaughn. I love Christmas movies. I think it's an interesting story and angle on a Christmas movie. Okay. Spacey's in that, and he's kind of a good bad guy, and I'm kind of like left going,
Paul Giamatti's a good Santa.
Paul Giamatti? Thank you for making
he's a pretty
my
good
point
Santa.
For Fred
he's
Claus.
A pretty good Santa in that movie.
I do struggle with this a little bit. I have boycotted Kanye West since I found out he was a Nazi. I will also acknowledge, I've heard a couple Kanye produce songs during my workouts lately, and I've let him go.
And let
I'm
him
like,
play.
I know he's getting credit for this, but he's not singing.
Yeah, I've lifted the embargo personally. Why do I have to be the one that pays the price?
Well, you're
because of
him.
Their transgressions.
But you're paying him anytime you
like. I have lifted the embargo on Remix to Ignition.
Wow,
it's such a good song. Why can't I want to listen to it, man?
I never had an embargo on Michael. I hate to tell you that.
See, that's what we all draw our different lines.
I think Michael Jackson might be top of the list for most.
Yeah.
It's such good music.
It's like, how do you not? When a song, dude. Like during Halloween, you weren't listening to Thriller, wasn't coming on. You're like carving pumpkins with your kids. You're not playing Thriller on that playlist. Stop it. We all are. It's okay to acknowledge.
It's a difficult thing that I don't think you need to be out and proud about. But
I'm not buying tickets to go to a show if R. Kelly gets out of prison. I'm not going to go buy a ticket to go watch him.
How many people would buy tickets to go see him perform in prison?
Oh, Johnny Cash
he's
style.
Going but he's actually in prison.
The inmate.
He can't get out.
Can a prison do that?
I don't know.
That's a dumb question.
They could raise a lot of money if they did.
Well, that's a whole other argument and conversation. So. Look, the point is, like, it's I guess it's just really tough. 808s and heartbreaks is when the season changes to really cold in winter. That's the album I will forever connect with a season.
Yeah.
Because of just when it came out and when I listened to it the most.
And Kanye's first two albums are up there as some of the best we've ever heard.
I would argue his first 4 to 5.
Yeah.
I think you're selling them short, but that's all
right. I mean, who likes techno? Mail sack question. What is your guys' favorite comfort food and or meal now that we're getting into the colder months?
It's a meal I actually don't eat anymore. Chili dogs. Chili dog used to be my favorite meal.
That was your go-to comfort food.
That was a luxury dinner item in the Sprague household growing up. My mom, like,
Don't you make chili dogs anymore?
Eating hot dogs feels weird.
Come on. Hot dog once in a while won't kill you.
No, well, will it? I don't know.
For me, it's just chili.
When it's time,
I'll make my chili.
I had it on Sunday.
Yeah.
Turkey, by the way, very tricky meat to use in the crock pot because it kind of disintegrates and becomes more a mushy substance.
Yeah, you lose the texture there.
I forgot you should have cooked turkey meat before you put it in, and then that way it's clumped.
You got to cook all most of the ingredients.
Wait, you just put the raw, like, ground turkey in the crock pot?
Oh, I let it all cook in the crock pot, baby.
What?
Yeah.
Wait, what?
You don't let ground beef just cook in the crock
pot? No, always cook
it
first.
Put it on for 10 hours?
No.
Is that a bad thing?
Yes.
Will I get sick?
I think you might.
Really?
I think you might have salmonella
Plus, all that fat then remains, because you
want
to drain off.
You don't want the fat.
You want to drain off some of the fat.
The fat makes the chili its character.
Oh, God.
You guys cook your meat every time.
Every time.
You don't slow cook
because
the meat.
I just made a pasta sauce the other day in my crock pot that had some ground beef in it, and
you just cooked it first.
You cooked the ground beef and then you put it in the crock pot
because you can season I want to season the meat separately so the meat gets seasoned.
I'm blown away
I season the meat, it's just raw.
But then it'll get
I mush up the meat together.
Wow.
Nobody's gotten sick, and we just finished it yesterday, so you guys be careful with your judgment.
I want to hold off. There's a 48-hour limit on this getting sick, okay?
Well, we can't. Sunday.
No final
great.
Conclusions. I need till Thursday to see if
the
there's some sort of bodily
issues. It cooked for 10 hours.
No wonder it just disintegrated.
What do you do with meatloaf? Do you cook meatloaf and then make the meatloaf?
I don't make meatloaf.
But, like, what's the difference?
Meatloaf, you're baking.
That's what I'm doing in the crock pot for 10 hours.
You're braising it, technically, but...
Look, I'm going to cook it differently, but I'm getting a lot of judgment. I feel like other people do what I do.
Should you get judged for this, let Sprague know. Maybe we'll put a poll question out on that. Do you cook your meat before you put it in a crock pot? Like,
I don't know if I've ever done it before.
Sometimes we'll do like a buffalo chicken dip kind
roast.
Of thing.
I will sear a chuck roast.
Well,
I would hope. Put it in the crock pot.
I would hope you would do that.
Well, I'm trying to get ahead of anybody that says I'm doing this
But like
wrong.
Sometimes we'll do like a dip or something in the crock pot that has like a chicken thigh. Or so, and I'll put like a raw chicken, and then you eventually like.
Well, why is that
shred
okay? What's the difference?
I mean, that's a valid argument
because I do that too. I think
I think it's the look of it.
Oh, it looks terrible.
It's just like plopping in like uncooked
for the first 5
ground
hours.
Turkey,
it looks awful.
It just gives me the heebie-jeebies.
Also, I want to do a study. I know turkey's healthier for you, but like
how healthy?
Is that health worth not having the beef difference? That beef is clearly more tasty than a turkey.
Where's the beef, man? Let's see here. Mail sack question. When you guys go to break, do you continue the topic at hand or you just immediately stop talking to one another?
No, we talk to each other. It's just not. Usually we'll react to a text or a thing in the chat. And then we usually let that go and we'll just either change the topic, bitch about work, or talk about how hungry we are.
Yeah. And later in the week, it's usually about bets and all the bets we're going to... Why is this team favored by that?
Friday is a lot of, like, off-air, like, why is this team 6.5-point dogs? I don't get it.
People are now enjoying this Sprague comment for Sprague and the Line sponsors on Friday. So
Which one?
You're not cooking the meat
raw
stuff.
Raw
turkey in the crock pot.
Well, I'm seriously asking, because, Swag, you haven't chimed in on the chicken conversation here. What is the difference between dropping raw chicken... and you letting the crock pot cook it for 6 to 10 hours versus a ground meat of substance?
Well, for me, obviously, if you cook it long enough and you braise it in the liquid, it will eventually get cooked. For me,
it does. I've done it. It does get
cooked. Yeah, no, I know. Yeah. For me, though, I want to season it separately So the meat is seasoned when it goes in.
I put the meat in a mixing bowl. I season the living hell out of it. I mush it with gloves, and then I place it in the crock pot.
I don't like touching ground meat. That feeling, I don't like it.
I kind of do.
You kind of like that?
No, you got to do that. Yeah. Don't you make your own hamburger patties?
Not very often,
You buy the pre... Boy,
I don't do a lot of hamburgers. I'm not a big hamburger. I mean, a cape once in a bloom, 4th of July. I'm not a regular hamburger guy.
You don't make meatballs? You don't do meatballs?
I don't do meatballs, no. Really? Not a big meatball guy.
What do you eat?
No. Steak, chicken, salmon.
You don't
spaghetti.
Slap the seasonings and smother it on the steak?
I mean, I'll do that. I'll rub with a glove the seasonings on the steak. That's different than mushing up ground meat. What is ground meat? Like, it just...
Can I tell you something I do? I do with steak is I will lift the steak.
You slap it?
Every time I season it, and I slap that thing. Just... that little slap before I drop her on to sear and cook it.
I think...
Is it time to go now?
Time to go.
I don't think I'm as in the, the minority on this crock pot meat thing.
Well, there's some stuff, like if you're going to do like a pulled pork.
What about a spaghetti sauce? You crock pot a spaghetti sauce.
I will always cook the ground beef first.
See, I don't do
always.
That. I don't do it.
If I have a big, Dutch oven thing, I'll cook the meat separately and add it in, whether it's
so good.
Sausage or ground beef or whatever.
All right. Are we done here? Are we done? I think we're done here.
Anymore? I don't know.
I think we're done.
It's your choice.
I think we're done here.
You're one quarterbacking it.
Let's get to another bit of quarterback.
Feeling real judged. Feeling alone on an island.
I love when that happens on the show where you say something you don't realize that other people are going to judge you for it, and immediately it backfires on you. You're getting a little bit of support here. You're getting a little support. Let's get to another bit of quarterback news. Is it time for a change? And will the change do anything? We'll get to that coming up next. I think it gets the people fired up like a little bit of food talk.
We've been blown and gone.
We have a chef of 25 years who is chiming in at the Vancouver Four text line. He said, ground turkey is one thing, but ground beef? As a chef of 25 years, I've never heard anyone slow cooking ground beef. I had to pull over because my cooking sense is in shock. Please stop. Today is hard enough.
There's a chef on Instagram that I follow, and he just puts other cooking videos.
Oh, he's so good. Where he reacts to what they're doing and the ingredients they use.
And I'm seeing that chef as he's watching me do chili prep. Yeah.
What are you doing?
I don't cook my chili every time on the slow cooker. Just an FYI for all the people I upset.
People very angry.
But
right
on the days where I'm lazy and I don't want to think about dinner.
There is something. You just throw it all in a crock pot.
Yeah. It's in there. It's cooking. It'll be done in 10 hours.
Well, we talked earlier about USC benching Miller Moss, their starting quarterback. They're making a change. Your Beavs are off of a bye week. They're back in action this weekend. They get San Jose State at home. It's a 12:30 kick in a must-win game for Oregon State, considering what is remaining on their schedule. If they want to have a chance to go to a bowl game, these next two are vitally important for them.
Right.
Trent Bray yesterday said that he will not be naming a starting quarterback this week until the conclusion of practices on Thursday, and that it could be Giovanni McCoy, Ben Golbranson, or Jabari Johnson, and they're not naming a quarterback yet. Will this make an impact, and do you like that they are evaluating this after a three-game losing streak?
Well, what do you think of UMass's passing game?
I don't know much about UMass's passing
game. What about Purdue?
Purdue's is not very good. I know that.
We are statistically worse than both those schools.
Well, you beat Purdue at least without a good passing attack.
Doing what? Running the football.
Ran the football.
Look, I'm not stunned to hear him say this yesterday in his media scrum. I also think there's no commitment to any one player. You're going to get interchanging players.
You can get all three in the same, like just rotate in and out kind of thing?
I don't know about Johnson. We haven't seen him really. But if you told me Golbranson starts against San Jose State and then in and out comes McCoy once in a while, I'm not going to sit there shocked. Their passing game sucks. It's almost borderline non-existent. They're at a 60% completion percentage.
Not good.
No, it was good maybe 13 years ago. That's not good anymore. It's not efficient. It's not a real threat. I don't know much that the quarterback. I don't think McCoy's been very good, but they got to shake something up. They lose this week in San Jose State. I think you kiss their bowl eligibility goodbye.
Yeah, you'd have to win two of the last three. Now, you do get Air Force, who is not very good.
You will beat Air Force. Air Force is terrible.
But you got to go on the road to Air Force, and then you get Washington State, and you get Boise State.
And I don't think you're beating those two teams. I don't care which one's home. I think Boise's on the road. Washington State is at home. I think if you lose San Jose State, you can kiss your bowl eligibility goodbye. And I've already told Beaver fans that have reached out privately on social media. I've talked to Beaver fans off the internet. I heard this weekend that there's a pretty good donor. I'm not going to say a top level donor, but a really good consistent donor for them that is watching the landscape of this and saying, what is the point anymore?
Why am I spending my money on this?
What am I contributing to? Yeah. Like, we don't have a chance in this. Look at the landscape of this sport. And I'm not saying that's how all the donors feel. I don't want Beaver fan listening to that, that does donate, that doesn't feel that way to go, oh, now all of it? No, I just heard about one. And it's somebody that's pretty consistent. And I jokingly said, tell them to put the money in the basketball. It's a basketball conference. It's how they're designing this. I hope that they can turn this around. I hope they can beat San Jose State. But it's bleak right now. They're not playing good football. They are super banged up, but they're also not playing good football.
Yeah. Both can be true at the same time.
I think both can be true at the same time. And so that's where they sit. So I wasn't shocked to hear Bray say that.
I think the question I would have, and this is so hard to answer because we don't have access. We're not at practice. We don't see what the coaches are seeing. What is their plan at that position next year? And is that guy on the roster?
I think it's Johnson or fill in the blank portal guy that is not looking at right now.
And that's like if Jabari Johnson has not shown you enough in practice to make you think this guy could be a starting quarterback next year, and that is clearly a long growth process that you're not willing to go through, mm-hmm. and you're going to go find somebody else, then the ultimate needs to be just simply who gives you the best chance to win. And that's still not an easy thing to answer, but I would argue it's probably still Javonte McCoy. If Jabari Johnson is showing you enough in practice where you think this guy has a decent shot with a good spring and a good fall to be our starter next year, I would hand the reins over to him. I think what you're saying is going to end up being right. They're going to play all three of them, and you're going to rotate in and out. It'll be hard for those guys to get into a rhythm, and one or two bad drives, you end up pulling them out, and then the next guy's in. He's not going to do much. Like, they benched McCoy at Cal. What did Cole Branson come in and do? I mean, they scored a touchdown eventually
that
in garbage
was
time.
Super big garbage
44
time.
44-0 or whatever. Like, it wasn't like anything changed offensively for you. And so I almost wonder if that thought process needs to be, yeah, bowl game would be great. You love an extra month, but also can we give our guy who's going to be a starter next year a leg up on the competition, if you will? But again, I don't have access to practice, so I don't know what Jabari Johnson is showing behind the scenes. But he was a highly touted kid, went to Missouri for a year. Like, he wasn't some two-star out-of-nowhere recruit. I think he was a three- or four-star recruit when he signed with Missouri, and then obviously transferred out after 1 year. And so that would be my thought. I'm glad that they're at least acknowledging that this is not working and we need to do something about it. I'm curious to see if it actually ends up being a change or if this is just they're trying to use it as a motivational tactic to get McCoy going, because they tried to make a change in the Cal game and their offense did not change.
No, it didn't change whatsoever. Look, they need a get-right game bad, and I don't know if that's this weekend. I know we've got some stuff we can talk about through the rest of the week with this game, but they just need it in the worst of ways. So I'm not, again, shocked to hear him talk about needing maybe a different leader behind there. I also still think McCoy can end up being their starting quarterback. They need to break through this. They're in a spiral a little bit, and they need a get-right game in the worst of possible ways.
It's been a rough month for the Beavs, man.
Yes.
And they get San Jose State at home, 12:30 on Saturday. I'll be curious to see what the crowd looks like for that game. I don't know what the weather's supposed to be like, or maybe rain on Saturday. So not looking good, but they're changing quarterbacks, so maybe that gives the offense a spark
that
it definitely
needs. They're just announcing that they're open to it.
Very
true. They might still go to McCoy.
Very true. Might end up being the same starting quarterback at the end of the day. And look, to be fair to those guys, none of them have played well. They also need, you need to be better up front. You need to run the football. We know what Oregon State's recipe is in order to be successful as an offense.
But their problem's on the other side of the ball.
It absolutely
is. Definitely their problem.
But offensively for them right now, if you can't run the football, none of these guys are going to have any success.
Yep.
I'll tell you, I mean, that's
they're
just
not a passing team.
It's as simple as that. So we'll see what they end up announcing after practice on Thursday ahead of their San Jose State game on Saturday. The first college football playoff rankings come out tonight. Are we excited? Will we watch? And can we guess the top 12? We'll wrap it up there next on The Fam. Well, the day we've all been waiting for, the inaugural college football playoff rankings come out this afternoon. It's the only thing we're all going to be watching, 4 o'clock, nothing else going on tonight. What team's going to piss us off the most? Either too high or too low. Who do you think's the culprit that ends up getting the anger on the show tomorrow? Is it a two-loss Alabama being like ninth tonight?
I think it could be Penn State, Notre Dame, or Bama.
Penn State, Notre Dame, or Bama. Yeah. Okay.
Bama has not looked the part. They have the win. So
would they be in
here.
Your top 12 playoff right now?
I made
now.
My top 12.
Okay. I'm excited.
I made my top 12. This is my best guess. Well, what are we doing here? Guessing what the committee's
going to
do?
Guessing what the committee's going to do tonight.
I think I nailed it.
Okay. I'm going to write down your top 12.
Okay.
Sprague's top 12 tonight.
Yep.
This is what it'll look like.
This is what the committee is going to have.
Okay, this is it.
Now, these aren't playoff like seeding. You got to remember that. These are the rankings. And so the seeding isn't going to match potentially the seeding. The ranking seedings are different.
It's actually a good point. Are we going to rank these teams like we would for the bracket?
No, they're not doing playoff brackets. They're doing seeding.
Okay.
Or not seeding. They're just doing rankings.
Rankings. Okay.
And so the rest will take care of itself.
All right. What do you got?
So my top 12. Number one is Oregon. Number two, Georgia.
Yes. We all know those will be the top two teams.
I don't know if we do. Do we know
that? I think
we do. Ohio State just got a top five road win.
Georgia has wins over.
They lost by one at Oregon.
Georgia has a road win over Texas, a win over Clemson, and their only losses to Alabama.
Number three, I have Ohio State.
Yep.
Number four, I have Miami. Now, this is controversial because Miami fan might feel like they're getting screwed here. They're undefeated, but Ohio State just won at Penn State.
And beat a team with a winning record.
So, Miami, number four. Number five is Texas. Number six is BYU.
Whoa!
Number seven is Indiana.
Okay.
These are undefeated. So
they
I think
are?
They're going to give credit to undefeated.
They are.
Number eight is Penn State. Number nine is Notre Dame. Number 10 is Tennessee. Number 11 is Bama. And number 12 is Boise State.
Okay.
That's how I think the committee is going to rank it.
See, now here's the interesting thing. If we're just going off of rankings and not a playoff bracket, will Boise State be one of the top 12 teams actually ranked?
If Boise State finishes their season...
No, I'm saying right now. I'm saying right now, will they be one of the 12 highest? You think they will?
Okay. I think they will get number 12. Jainty's been a great story.
They are 14th in the coaches' poll.
Nobody cares about the coaches' poll. Most of these committee members steal from the coaches' poll, and then they just tweak it to fit their... Big Ten SEC narratives.
Yes, they do.
I think Boise will get a benefit here tonight. I think we will see Boise State close loss at Oregon. They beat UNLV in a primetime standalone game.
It should be noted, too, they don't have to be ranked in the top 12 to make the playoff. If they win their conference championship, it is the highest ranked.
I think Boise will be 12.
Champs. Interesting. Okay. All right. The only disagreement that I have in my top 12 that I think the committee will do, I think to me the top three are pretty obvious. I would be shocked if the top three does not go Oregon, Georgia, Ohio State. Shocked. Head sewn to the carpet on the floor.
All right. Ohio State's lone loss is the number one team by
Georgia
one
has, what's their best win? Outside of the Penn State game.
Oh, well, yeah, outside of that, you know, but it's sometimes about recency bias,
that's
right?
That's true. Georgia, Texas was like 2 weeks ago.
Georgia also looked terrible against Florida.
They did. Ohio State also barely beat Nebraska 2 weeks ago.
That's true.
So that happened. I just would be shocked if that's not the order they go in.
I agree.
My fourth team, I don't think they're going to give Miami the credit. I think strength of record, who you beat, who you lose to, matters to this committee.
Wow, here we go.
And I think they're going to start with the ACC hate right out of the gate. And I think we're going to get Texas 4.
Wow.
Miami 5.
Okay.
I think they're going to go Tennessee 6.
You think Tennessee's going to be 6?
Yes, I do, because their win over Alabama is better than anything that BYU or Indiana can boast, and they're going to give them credit for that quality wins.
BYU. Okay.
I know. Don't get mad at me. I'm just telling you what I think the committee's going to do.
Not mad at all.
I got Tennessee 6, Penn State 7, Indiana 8, BYU 9, Notre Dame 10. Bama 11, Boise State 12.
Okay.
That's what I think the committee will do.
All right.
Swag, you want to throw yours in the ring
here? Hard to really disagree with much of this. We're just...
No, I haven't gone through that process. I am curious to see, how they view Miami and Texas, and then how they view Indiana.
Yeah.
Who will be the higher ranked? You have BYU ranked ahead of Indiana.
I have BYU 6.
You think they'll be ahead of BYU?
BYU's played a more formidable schedule.
They have. Opponents. They got a win over Kansas State on the year.
Well, that suddenly hurt because they just lost to Houston.
Yeah, Kansas State's been interesting.
BYU should be higher than Indiana.
They also have a win over SMU. They're the only team to beat SMU. Now, SMU's playing, I would argue, different football now than they were earlier in the year. I think
that's
their quarterback changed. But that's not what we
sit with.
To be fair, it's not what we sit with. We also have to do the whole weird, does it matter when you play them if they're ranked or if they're ranked currently? Do we revisit the ranking and that's now a ranked win? Because that wasn't obviously a ranked win at the time. Now, I mean, SMU is going to be likely in the top 15 tonight.
I always feel like we should be adjusting these things. I think the time and the moment you win these games should matter. Bartu has highlighted this several times. That's not how they do it. And I think it's the dumbest thing that they don't do is, let's just use Oregon. Oregon beats Illinois. Illinois just lost to Minnesota, so suddenly that win, not that I thought Illinois was great.
Right.
But in the moment, they were ranked in the top 25.
One loss team, top 20 team.
Of the ranking we had, even though that ranking is irrelevant, which is also stupid and why the committee should be coming out earlier with rankings, I think that should matter. And it doesn't to them. So I think teams get screwed by that.
Yeah, it's interesting. On the other side of that, Texas has two of those wins this year. They have a top 10 win against Michigan, technically. Not a top 10 win anymore.
I know.
They have a top 20.
At Michigan.
They did. Yeah. And they have a top 20 win against Oklahoma, which is also not a top 20 win anymore.
Yeah.
I can't wait. I can't wait to yell at my television tonight. Nothing brings out the anger like meaningless rankings in November.
I hope our building doesn't get damaged today.
I do too. Stay safe, everybody.
Any predictions?
No.
God, no.
None?
Just
survive.
Are you guys afraid to even give a prediction?
I am, yeah. I just want to get the hell out of here.
Everybody else gives their thoughts on politics, but we do it. Dare God forbid us.
I have a competition problem.
Just get through. Get through tonight. Sun will come up tomorrow. We'll be here. 6 a.m. Hopefully, we'll be here.
That will be for a country tomorrow.
Josh Pate will join us at 7:40 tomorrow. We'll get his thoughts on the first rankings, Penn State, Oregon, where they're at, all that stuff. Josh Pate will join us as he does every Wednesday at 7:40. If you missed any of the show, go check the podcast, 1080thefan.com, at Dirt and Sprague and at 1080 The Fan. If you watched on YouTube, thank you so much. Like the video before it closes down. Subscribe to the channel. If you haven't done so yet, great content up all day long from everybody here at The Fan. Thanks for being a part of our Tuesday. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 6 a.m. Calling us next for listening to 1080 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.